Today I want to go to the book of Nehemiah chapter 1. Amen. Chapter 1 and verse 1. Amen. I hate to ask you, but amen. The Word of God just commands us to stand in attention to Him. Amen. I'm nothing or nobody, just a messenger today, but I always want to reverence the Word of God. Amen. Nehemiah 1 and 1, the Bible says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Shizlu, in the 20th year, and I was in Shushan, the palace. Now that's a mouthful. Amen. That is a mouthful. That Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, that great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. There is a protection. There is a gathering of the angels of heaven when we stand in the mercy and the covenant of God. I feel him here today. You're going to have to put up with me. My old pastor always said, you're just going to have to put up with me today. Amen. Let thine ear now be attentive. If you want to know how to walk with God, let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. I want to preach to us today, all is not lost. All is not lost. Amen. Let's lift our hands and ask the Lord to be with us in this house today. Jesus, we come to you today, Lord, with mercy in our hearts. Lord, understanding, God, that we need to be in your presence. God, we ask you, Lord, that you minister to our hearts and our souls today. Lord, I am the servant of the Most High God, and I pray, Lord, Lord, that you anoint me, God, for understanding of your people, Lord. Lord, that we can reaching for something today in their life that need the direction of the Holy Ghost. God, a change in their heart, Lord, a change in their minds and souls, Lord. We come to give you praise and we come to give you glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated in Jesus' name. I promise I won't keep you long. But I am so thankful for what I feel in my spirit. I'm thankful that God is still on the throne in my life. Amen. I think every day how important it is that I stay in tune and in communication with my Savior. Our greatest loss in our life, the greatest damage of any relationship, is when we lose communication with that one that we love. Praise God. The greatest damage in our walk with God is if we stop talking and we stop listening to His voice in our lives. Praise God. The Bible says that the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Shizu in the 20th year, and he was in the place called Shushan, the palace. Praise God. This very desolate time for the children of Israel. It was a place where that they began to walk away from God and begin to walk into sin. Hallelujah. And there's a danger today that if we walk away from the truth of the Word of God, that we begin to walk in sin. Hallelujah. And the reproach of sin begins to be our character. It begins to become who we are, and we begin to take off the face of Christ, praise God, and we take off the identity of the church of us, and we begin to lose those things that should be instilled in us, and we begin to look like the world, and we begin to act like the world, and we begin to be a mindset to where that as long as I know just a little bit about God, and I'm just around it a little bit, and I'll be able to make my way back. We need to live out that we may not ever get back. Praise God. We've got to live closer to God than we ever have in our days. Praise God. There's times today that we can walk away, and there's things that this world will offer us that'll cause us to look good. But I want to tell you something. When I was filled with the Holy Ghost and I was baptized in His name, there's something that began to get inside me, brother and sister Wheat, and I didn't want to leave this gospel. I didn't want to walk away from God in our— You know why? Because He protected me in the times of trouble today. We desperately need God's protection in our life today. You can read the Word today and understand that folks are looking for a sign. Tomorrow, the world is alarmed. They're wondering if the world is going to end. They're wondering if everything is going to be over. They're saying, get your tanks filled up. They're saying, get all this prepared. Praise God. And the media and all the sources of information are building up as a hype. Praise God. That it could be, or it could be. Praise God. You know what I want to tell you today? You need to stop looking for signs. Praise God. Is this going to be the last time, or is this going to be the last place? Praise God. I come to church today knowing if you know that you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you ain't got to worry about a sign. You don't have to worry about a moon. Praise God. All you've got to know is I've kept myself. I've stayed where I was, and I'm going to live for God today. Realize tonight that I can go to bed and sleep and know that God's on my side. Know that He's in your life and in your heart today. Know you ought not leave this place today knowing that you might not make it tomorrow. I wouldn't leave the house of God today if I was lost today, knowing that I did not have the Holy Ghost walking with me. You know why? Because it don't take a sign to know that you can walk in Walmart and be shot. You can walk in the grocery store and somebody kill you. Praise God. You can walk anywhere. You don't know what's going through people's minds because sin has reproached their hearts today. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was responsible for everything that come in and went out. He was responsible for everything that happened in the king's house. He was the one that brought the food and the grapes and as the king sat on his throne, and in this throne room, he was the one that brought all the food and made sure that everything was right in the house of God. Made sure everything was right, praise God, for the king to live in pleasure and to live his life out. And then he came, and there's some men that come, praise God. The Bible says these were men of Judah. Now watch me now. These men were out of the tribe of praise. Out of the tribe of those that in the wilderness, their name, there was responsible for all the praise. Hallelujah. And we begin to realize that when we look back at Judah, and the Bible says that Hanani came and his brethren came and certain men of Judah, and he began to ask and inquire about the things that was going on. Today, people are sitting in their houses wondering what's going on in the world. They're sitting it on their jobs at the break tables discussing what's going on in their lives, praise God. They don't understand that Jesus is coming back. They don't understand that you better make your life right. You better get all the garbage and all the junk out of your life and your soul. Brother Dwayne, it's not time to sit back today. It's time to come out of them aisles. It's time our seats today, church, and let God be God in our hearts today. Yes. Now realize that men of Judah were supposed to be those that caused us to worship. But today they brought bad news. Contrary to their character, Sister Wheat, they had to bring the man of God the bad news. Something's happening in Israel. Something's happening in the church. Something's going on that's contrary to what God wants us to do. Oh, I fear for the world today, church. I fear for those that are coming and letting God just idly go by and the presence of God. He said, my spirit will not always strive for man. I'm thankful today that when God comes into the house of God like a rushing mighty wind and I begin to feel the power and the demonstration come upon my life, I've got another opportunity to feel his presence. There's reasons why that I stand and I pray my feet against the floor. There's reason why that I get up and I lift my hands in the church. You know why? Because every moment with God is a treacherous moment, and I've got to make sure I'm ready to meet him today. But watch what happens. When we lose our vision, people begin to die in our presence that God's made us responsible for. We are responsible for those that have come into our life. We're responsible for those that need the Holy Ghost in their hearts, and we fail to exonerate that presence that God is in us. What's happening in Israel right now, as we're reading and talking about Nehemiah, what's happened is that sin began to slip into the people of God, and the reproach of sin began to take over their lives, and they begin to look like the world. They begin to engulf themselves and begin to live like the world itself today. Now I'm talking about folks that are ready to make it. Even the strong are struggling in today's generation. Even the anointed are having trouble getting the message out without losing everything they have. I talked to a minister this past week, and he began to tell me how the things are just beginning to fall apart. And he does a lot of ministering out, praise God, all across the states. And he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I'm listening to those things that you're posting on Facebook. I'm listening to the audio messages that you're posting. He said, men of God that are ministering like that anymore. They're trying to make everything feel good. They're trying to make everybody look good, praise God, and sound good, but yet hearing what thus saith the Lord any longer. He said, I go into churches and it takes me 15 to 20 minutes of exhortation just to get the churches built up to want to praise God. The sin and reproach. It was Judah that came to Nehemiah to tell him what was going on. I believe that those men, Hananiah, was there to tell Nehemiah that the praise is leaving the church. All right? I believe shout and dance and worship God like they used to. They don't give God the praise like they used to. Hallelujah. And they wait on somebody to pump them up, praise God. I'm glad that when we get to the church, I don't have to have a song to pump me up. I'm glad I don't have to have somebody to sing the glory down for me to feel God. But I can get out of my seat, Brother Sins, and I can lift my hands and know that in Him, He's in my heart. I can praise Him any way that I want to praise Him today. It doesn't definitively tell what Hananiah and the brethren was telling Nehemiah. It doesn't tell us exactly the conversation. But the Bible tells me that they begin to talk about something that was not going on in the house of Israel anymore. What happened to those testimonies that people would get up and tell about what the goodness of the Lord, that God brought me out of a mire of sin. He brought me out of a drug world. He brought me out of a gambling situation. He brought me out of sin and perversion, praise God. Hallelujah. I long for the day to see folks get the Holy Ghost just as testimonies again. I long for them to get the Holy Ghost just at the beginning of service. I long for the Holy Ghost to begin to take over our lives and say, hey, I've got blessings for you that you've never even tapped into today. When he heard those things, what's not happening in the church? We sit back idly by and let service after service. I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about churches around. It's not as good as it seems when you watch the video clips on Facebook. It's not happening like you think it is. Praise God that they'll send the high moments that's going on in the house of God. That we ought to be worshiping God over. It's not because the preacher sounds good and they're doing about this fancy singing, praise God, and they sound beautiful, and I'm not preaching against them today, but the greatest thing that we ought to be showing is a sinner at an altar somewhere that's given their heart to God, and they begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance, praise God. We've got to get back to the basics of the Holy Ghost working in out of our church. Oh, yeah. Woo. We lose it. Had a conversation yesterday. The brother was telling me I had to let my son go and learn on his own. He said I helped him long enough just to keep him from starving. I helped him go long enough just to keep from passing on because he refused to get out and go to work and support and take care of himself. He said, but after a while, he realized that this world will let you die. Hallelujah. And they'll let you be lost and they won't help you. They won't pick you up. Praise God. They won't carry you. Friend, you've got to have that self-tenacity that I am going to get up on my own two feet. I'm not going to let anybody do it for me any longer. Praise God. I don't need mama to shout for me no more. She taught me how it was supposed to be. I don't need daddy to teach me how to preach anymore. I've got to walk in the presence of God and allow him to use me, praise God. But now today, when I get up out of the bed, Sister Wheat, I remember what mama taught me. I remember what daddy taught me. But when I get here, I know that I've got a true relationship with Jesus Christ today. It's going to take somebody that I don't care no more. I've made a wreck of my life. I've made shambles, and we can look in the mirror. And if we'll ever look in the mirror and talk to ourselves, I've let the devil take control of me long enough. I've let him destroy me long enough. I've let him in my spirit and my soul long enough, praise God. But if I ever look into the mirror and say, it's got to take something, a desperate cry from me to make a difference in me. It wasn't a good conversation. The Bible says that when Nehemiah, after they had left, that he wept and he sat down. He wept and he cried and he prayed and he fasted, praise God. How can I change what's going on? Friend, it's going to take more than one man to change the city of Richmond. It's going to take a church that's working together, looking for the lost and watching God work in our lives today. Oh, I wish I had the wind today to preach. It's going to take worship from us. Hallelujah. It's going to take praise. Can I tell some of you? You need to stop worrying about your children. Your children are in God's hands. Your families are in God's hands. You just got to keep praising for who He is in you. You just got to keep giving God praise for who He is in you. Hallelujah. I can't come wondering what's going on in somebody else's life. I can't come wondering what's happening here or happening there, praise God. But if I keep on weeping, praise God. The Bible says those that sow in tears will reap in joy, praise God. Keep crying for your children, but you got to come to church and dance about it. You got to come to church and shout about it. Oh, don't cry all night and not give God glory. Come out of them tears. When you get to the house of God, say, my children are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. My family's going to be saved today. Our lives will make a difference if we put our attitude and our worship in perspective. There was some things that was going on in Israel. A whole wall to be destroyed. There were circumstances that when it was all left and said, that Nehemiah forgot about standing. He forgot about the things that was inside of him that he knew that he was supposed to do. He forgot about those things because he knew that God's house was more important than the king's house. Hallelujah. That God's house, the rebuilding of the wall, was more important than pleasing some man somewhere or pleasing somebody else, praise God. Friend, we've got to stop trying to please everybody. We've got to get a hold of God in our lives and start rebuilding some walls and saying, I'm going to live for God no matter what today. Again, most folks forget about God when it's time to rebuild. Sister, they quit worrying about church. I made mistakes and everybody's judging me when I get here. I've done things wrong and everybody knows all about them. Friend, I don't care who knows what about me, praise God. I don't care what they say. I've been forgiven. I've been blood bought. I've been changed. I'm standing here today with God on my side and He's saying, Pastor, get back up on the wall and begin to preach to my people. Get the sin out of their lives. Get it out of their homes. Get it off their jobs. Get it off their bodies, praise God, and start building something back in your life today. I made horrible mistakes in my life. And such were some of you. I've damaged my own life and walk by my decisions. And such were some of you. There's folks sitting here today that's made bad decisions. And God's brought you here for such a time as this, for you to understand all is not lost. There's a reason that the wall was crushed in your life, because God will not let you walk on His wall with sin and reproach in your spirit. Let's lift our hands and praise Him. I feel Him in this place. He's not going to let us build anything in His name and it be able to stand when our motives are wrong when we come to church, when our spirits are not where they are when we come to church, when our attitudes are not in place and we're not ready to worship Him. Friend, you're not building anything if you're not walking with God. Brick upon brick and mortar upon mortar, and you're working yourself to death, and in vernacular, you're confusing your efforts with results. You're confusing your ideas with what God is asking you to do. I want to tell you something today. It don't matter what's burnt you up. It don't matter what stone is laying upon another. It don't matter what anybody has come to tell you that you can't do. The Bible says greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world today. I've got opportunity. Just keep on praising Him. I'm going to see what I want to see. If I just keep loving Him, I'm going to get to where I need to be in God today. All is not lost today. You don't have to leave here just being around the church. What I saw yesterday at the house of God was not a have-to situation. But it was a group of people that had a vision that we've got to finish something so God can do what He wants to do. I don't want to stop until the house of God is complete. I believe that the tapestry has to be in place. I believe that the leaks have to be not only out of the building, but you've got to get the leaks out of yourself today. We got to patch it up. The Ark of the Covenant was pitched within and it was pitched without. Whatever on the outside. Oh, hallelujah. Matter. Sometimes in the troubles and the trials and the fixings of your life, you're going to get messy. Sometimes it's not going to look like it's ever going to come together. It may take 120 years to get your ark built, but when it comes, you will be prepared for the storm that comes in your life. Hallelujah. It may take 5 years for you to get ready to meet God, but hear to me today. Stay in the church, your hands raised, and keep loving God. Pastor, I've failed. I've made mistakes and I fell by the wayside. Rejoice not against me, oh, mine enemies. For when I fall, not if, not maybe, he said, for when I fall, I shall arise. No matter what I've done in my past, all is not lost. Sometimes you go through just to see a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Sometimes you may, Lord, how did my life end up this way in the shambles of the world? Hallelujah. You know what it was? You took your eyes off of God. You took your worship out of you. Judah didn't mean nothing to you anymore. Judah didn't mean anything to you no more. Your praise wasn't important to you tomorrow, friend. I want to tell you today, if you ever stop praising God, you'll lose your victory today. I made up my mind. I said, Lord, I don't want to be a cheerleader. I don't want to come to church during song service and say, come on, church, praise him. Come on, church, lift your hands. Come on, church, let's shout. Come on, let's do this. You ought to do it because you love him. You ought to do it because you want to outrun. The Bible says that when they found that Jesus had risen, the Bible says that there was disciples that outrun each other to get to the place where Jesus had been. I want to tell you something today. You might be slow, but I might be heavier than you are. But I promise you, when you tell me Jesus in the house, I'm running to him. I'm going to find him, praise God, because I want to be in his presence. Sister Wheat, you just keep on preaching that gospel. They might think you're crazy over there. They might look at you funny. But they don't know like you know what the Lord has done for you. They don't know like I know. That song just ringing in my heart today. I know what he's done for me. I know what he's done for me. Well, I know what he's done for me. I know what the good Lord's done for me. He give me joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. That's what the good Lord's done for me. I don't have to wake up depressed. I don't have to wake up angry. I don't have to wake up sleepy, praise God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in him today. The hardest thing for us is that while we're rebuilding ourselves, that we can't lay down the sword in the building process. When Nehemiah began to build that wall back, hear me today, it's a war getting back where you need to be with God. Oh, you don't want to say amen to that. It's a fight. And I want to tell you something from my own experience. When I walked away from God, you will always have that feeling that I can never reach that place where I used to be. You'll live that life saying, Lord, I failed you so bad. And I made mistakes in my life that I can't explain out. And you're saying, Lord, just get me back to that place. And Nehemiah had to stand there, Caitlin, with that sword in his hand. In one hand, he had to be ready to fight at the mention of the word of the Lord. Church, if you're rebuilding without the word of God in you, you are living a vain life for God. Oh, I'm telling us the truth today. But he had the sword in his hand. And in the other hand, he was putting block up on block. Every step you take ought to be in the name of the Lord. Every place that you go ought to be in the name of the Lord. Every job that you do, you ought to do it as unto the Lord. Every time that you stumble, you better get back up in the name of the Lord. I'm sure that on the top of that wall, it wasn't easy. Because Nehemiah may have stumbled as he was trying to lay block upon block and hold on to the sword at the same time. The thing that will get us to the other side, church, is that as long as we're working and rebuilding our lives, never lay your sword down. Never take your shields off. Never take the helmet of salvation from off of your head, praise God. Because the enemy likes to catch you in your rebuilding process. In the times that you're trying to get back where you need to be, he'll try to kill you while you're trying to claim the name of the Lord today. Oh, but I wept. Heard about the things that's going on in Israel. I cried when the men came to me and said, you may not know what's going on. You see, the danger not only in the children of Israel's life that sin and reproach had gave them a new identity, but the danger was that Nehemiah was so busy filling the king's cup with wine that he lost his vision on folks that were trying to change Israel. You see, the problem was that we don't realize that what God brings us out of, He brings us out of, but our mind has to keep us going forward. Romans 12 says that we are changed by the renewing of our minds. Paul said, I think myself happy. Sitting in the pen, the prisons, sitting in the jails. You think Paul sat around with a smile on his face all the time, being locked up and beaten? Nobody's going to laugh when they're being beaten with stripes and strips of bones and cutting of the flesh. Nobody's going to sit around and laugh and scorn and say, oh, that feels good. How many ever got a whooping and it felt good? Son, when I got whippings, I ran for an hour and a half because the feeling was still there. We looked like zebras after we got whippings. We didn't run around saying it felt good. Nowhere do you find Paul said it felt good to stay in the prisons and the dungeons where the feces and all that was dripping and draining down upon them, dripping into their blood system and contaminating their bodies, praise God. And he never stood up and said, oh, this feels good. Because in flesh, the wall was being tore down of what he stood for. But in spirit, Paul looked at Silas and said, what are we going to do? Sometimes our mind has to be different from our circumstance. Our thought process is, you know, I may be living in a mess at home, but my mind is thinking me out of it. My Holy Ghost is thinking me out of it. We serve the Lord in our minds today. The mind and is the heart of the soul, praise God. And that's what you have to start thinking. God, I may be living in a mess, but my heart is shouting for you. My heart is dancing for you. My mind is saying, Lord, I want to praise you anyway.
Right.
What do you want to do, Paul? What do you want to do, Silas? You remember that song that we sang back at Lystra? You remember that song that we begin to prepare ourselves as we preach the gospel? Every preaching mission is not joy. I preached in some lively churches that you just jumped up and had hollered popcorn, peanuts, and crackers, Jackson. They was all and I've been in some that if you didn't have an anointing, you didn't move anything. The danger of ministering the gospel is folks are trying to preach without an anointing in their lives. Now, I want to tell you something. I love praise teams. I get on Facebook. I'm not a Facebook guru. I don't stay on there all the time. The only time I ever see anything from Facebook, if somebody posts something, I see it and it comes to my wall. But I see some of the most beautiful sanctuaries. I hear some of the most beautiful music. And we've got it all together in the apostolic reigns. The UPC has got it together. The ALJC's got it together. All of those that are in organization, they've all got it together. And they sound beautiful. And I'm not preaching against. I'm not going to stand and preach against the organization because there are some good things that goes on. Good programs, good things that happen, good men, good fellowship. If I didn't like the organization, I'd have to tell. I wouldn't even associate with your brothers. I've known them for years. But I'll tell you something. There's things that are going on in Israel that you can't blame it. We can't blame us on this organization stuff. If people don't live for God, it's not because they don't have a car. It's because they have allowed sin to get into their heart and their minds and their soul. I'm not going to blame anybody. If I die lost, I can't blame anybody but me because I let it slip from my heart. I let it slip from my mind. I let it slip from my soul. I let the Holy Ghost leave me because I walked away from Him. Now, I agree. If somebody says, once you're saved, you're always saved. That's good if you stay saved. That's good if you stay in tune with God. But my Bible tells me for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All has made a mistake. All has fell by the wayside. But what Nehemiah is trying to tell us is get back up on the wall. All is not lost in your life. Stop living in the mistakes of yesterday. It may be your foundation upon which you have had to build back up on. But hear me today. The Bible didn't say that Nehemiah built upon the foundation of what was burnt. He began to build the wall back from the ground up, praise God. Don't live your life in your life in your circumstance. Don't live your life in what you've done wrong. Do live for God in what you're doing right today. Woo! I still get joy when I think about it. I still am excited. Praise God. I want to see what God has for us. All is not lost in our life. All is not gone, praise God. I don't care what your friends say. If your friends say you can't make it, you got the wrong friends. Uh-oh. If your family says you can't make it, family. And we all got some of that in our family. But I want to tell somebody here today, and I want you to hear under the Holy Ghost today, God sent you here to let you know today that I am going to restore the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the locust has ate up in your life. I'm going to restore the things that you've been walking away from for a long time. And I'm going to put it back together in you. But you need to kick the bricks that you don't need to build on. You need to scatter away all the rubble and the rumble. All it takes is one rock to make your foundation insecure. All it takes is one little hole to fill a basement full of water. We know that from experience. And when your foundation is sure, you see, we don't go down when we live for God. He picks us up. And we don't want to build our lives on what's sure that's behind us and beneath us. When those things begin to become shaky, and we walked down there yesterday and we was actually standing inside, Brother Spence, and we could see, looking at the wall, not out the window, but we could look out the wall and see those men working through the bricks. When our foundation has crumbled and stumbled and things have fell apart in us, it's time to build again. It's time to start again. It's time to start picking ourselves up. Sister Jen, I've told you before, God's got something waiting if you just keep doing it. Just keep staying there. Last night was supposed to be a stumbling block to you. But you know what? You just need to praise God. I made it through it. He picked me up and I made it through it. The fastest I ever put a battery in last night was 3 minutes. In the dark. You can work in the dark if you got the right mindset. You can work in the darkness of those that are around you if you got your mind right and you know where you're going and what you're doing. We realize that when you get in darkness, all you need is to be recharged. And watch what happens. There's sometimes, like her battery went out, that we think, Brother Spence, all we need is a quick fix and a surge of power from something. Sometimes that laying in the floor and running, jumping, shouting doesn't fix your problem. It carries you through to the next day, but the problem is still there until you rebuild the wall that's been destroyed in your life. Musicians, come. Let's stand today. All is not lost when our minds, we need to have them. Our vision is in place. When we look out and we see all those things going on, we see everything happening around us. And I'll go this far. When I see somebody, about a month or two ago, I seen something out of somebody that I thought I'd never see. And what they were doing, for years they have damned and condemned all those around them that's done it. But when I walked in and saw it, I wanted to sit down and cry, because they sat in my church under the sound of my voice, condemned my people, talked about my people, not my people, God's people, for something they were standing there doing themselves. Never had a clue that I'd walk in that time of the morning. Sometimes God shows you things, and He'll lead you to places to let you know that you're still doing what it takes to live for God. Sometimes He'll take you in avenues and areas in your life, and Lord, what's going on? What you make it. If you got hidden agenda, you got hidden sin, you got things in your life that hold you back, you need to pick up that bed and rebuild it. There is no comfort in sin. There is no comfort in hidden sin. It'll come out. Somebody see it. Somebody prayed up or will discern it. Somebody will know that you're in the wrong. Don't leave. Church. Don't leave God. Him. Anointing, stay in His work. I wonder today if we could find ourselves a place for about 5 minutes and pray that the Lord would keep us lost today. You don't have to leave without what you need from Him today. God's got a plan for you. He's got a vision for you. He's got a way for you that you've never seen. He'll make a way when it seems like there is no way. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, hallelujah.
Where you'll find it.